changed at home. Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget.
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Changed at home. Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind?
Jackie? Hello?
This is Alan. I'm here.
I've got it.
Okay, you're on.
Thank you, Nicholas. Alan?
Yeah?
I missed one of my on buttons.
Oh.
So I was talking into a dead mic.
Oh,
ladies
no.
and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Tonight is Tuesday, the 30th of August, in the year 2005, and I'll bet you've already noticed how fallish it seems. I see the sun. You know, in the summertime, Alan, the sun is so high.
Yeah.
And it soars so high, so fast. You don't get that much sun, except maybe the western sun.
Yeah.
But boy, this time of the year, the sun starts coming in your home. Did you notice that?
Well, I know that the temperature here hit 98 today.
Oh no.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, but what I'm talking about, though, is the placement of the sun.
That's right. Yeah.
It starts visiting you
mm-hmm.
in your home when the summertime wanes and it gets into the fall and winter.
Yeah.
That's when we get the sun.
It's got a lower trajectory.
Yes, it does, and it moves across the sky that way.
Yep.
And it just, I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's very beautiful. Folks, thank you for being here tonight with us on Sweet Liberty. I didn't intend to get off onto that conversation. And basically what I was going to say is you have noticed, I'm sure, how fallish it's seeming. And Alan Watt is with us again tonight. Our spiritual message, we'll do this from Ephesians. Because it's on the wall in front of me. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In the evil day, Alan, is today the evil day?
It's pretty
or has
well
it always
the evil day.
Yeah. I was going to ask, has it always been the evil day?
Mm-hmm.
We
when you have two coexisting realities, then every day is the same. It's one's conspiring to manage the other, and the other, of course, is oblivious to the other. Yeah. That's the key to it.
Well, maybe withstanding in the evil day means not partaking of the evil, Alan.
That would be extremely hard to do in this society.
Well, what else? I know it would be hard, but what else would that mean?
Yeah, it literally means you would stand in such a way that you would make yourself very visible when it comes to a decision that you must take if you want to stay in that system, you either go along with it or you say no.
So,
and that's actually been here for quite some time. I used to notice in Britain and in Europe, you used to have tramps, you know, people who just opted out of the system. They had no insurance numbers, no ID cards of any kind.
Oh, and they called them tramps?
Yeah.
So that's a difference in hobos and tramps, yes?
Hobos sort of came later with the Depression.
Right, they were riding
the
whale.
Tramps were sort of natural tradition that always were there.
Uh-huh.
And you had all kinds, of course. You had guys who'd been professors and who just dropped out. There was all kinds that became tramps.
Uh-huh.
And they wouldn't say much to the ordinary people, but if you could had the patience to stay around them, they would confide little words of wisdom to you. And and they knew what, of course, was going on.
So they made the connotation of the word tramp.
Mm-hmm.
The connotation of it was like a no good, a bum, because there was another name called a bum.
Well, anyone who was not in the system,
right,
got a derogatory term.
Well, thank you for this, Alan. Thank you for talking about this, because that's exactly. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
We have it in our minds,
mm-hmm.
bums, tramps, hobos.
Yeah.
It never occurred to us that they are the people that won't take part in the system.
Yes, and it is true that there's a certain minority are mentally ill, but there's a good majority of them are just purely aware of what really is going on.
And they want no part of it.
They want no part of it. In a sense, they truly have opted out, made their decision, and they take the consequences. You know, they know that one day they'll be found dead in the bush somewhere or wherever they happen to be. But up until then, they don't compromise in any way.
Well, Alan,
yeah.
Are you saying that we all have to be homeless in
no,
order
you started
not
off asking about standing against it? And
yeah,
I said,
but I'm talking
compromise.
About standing against it.
Yeah.
I mean,
because if we're in the system, we are compromised.
Okay.
Then we can't help that because, and that's just what I was getting to. Now, tramps and even gypsies existed in England. They still do in Ireland. You'll see the old traditional gypsy caravans, the real gypsies, and they go to horse fairs. They sell a lot of horses, but they're dwindling too because the authorities in Britain and in the rest of Europe are trying to make them settle down in council housing like everybody else, and destroy
and conform
their system. You know,
and conform.
Conform, that's it.
My.
And, of course, they've been persecuting them,
so
too.
So you're in the system, and I'm in the system.
And that's what I'm saying. Everyone's been forced, one way or another, into the one system. They haven't left any outs, really. They've closed all the loopholes that used to exist. And, of course, they're moving towards the cashless society and the tracking of all transactions. That's already happening.
So, ultimately, Alan, what does
yeah.
this mean? Okay, they've left us no loopholes. We're in the system. What does that mean, ultimately?
Well, it means, as I say, when we're always talking about something that's going to happen, we don't realize that most of it's already happened. And so many people
yes,
phone
we're
me
in it, in
and,
other
and
words.
They think there's going to be some final climax when their whole system or way of life changes.
Right, exactly.
They don't realize that it's a step, a bite by bite, really. It's like an apple and you're biting it. And they take a chunk off and a chunk off. And you get so used to these little nibbles, you don't notice them so much.
Do you want to hear? I mean, I think it's a good a confirmation of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck was in sales. And he dealt in credit card systems. And, of course, he didn't believe in them, so everybody he talked to, he told them he didn't believe in it.
Uh-huh.
But he says, you're a merchant, and if you're going to, you know, that you should have one of these. And then he'd tell them about the cashless society and everything.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot, he said a lot of people, but he said these were fundamentalists that uh-huh. believed, you know, we're in the last days and Jesus is coming back and all that.
Uh-huh.
But he said this one man said to him, he said, the guy said, oh, you're talking about the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck was just thrilled, you know. He said, yeah.
Yeah.
Guy says, I know all about that. He says, it's in Texas. He says, my brother lives in Texas,
uh-huh.
and it's in there already, and it's coming this way.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We laughed so hard, Alan. Tears were rolling down our face.
Yeah.
This was his concept. It's sure. in Texas, and it's coming this way.
It's coming this way.
That's what he said.
Yeah, well, it's not too far wrong, I think.
No, well, it's here. But
it is here, and, of course, Texas is the Lone Star State, the five-pointed star, you know. So it's highly symbolic of the system.
It is, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, a five-pointed Masonic star.
Wow.
But yeah,
it's in Texas, and it's coming this way.
Yeah.
Wow.
It certainly is, and it's not old. I mean, it's not new. The United Nations Charter was signed in the 1st of January, 1942, by the U.S.
Right, Britain. Right, exactly.
And that was the Atlantic Charter was part of it, but they gave a big speech then, and Roosevelt gave a speech. And he quoted Tennyson's poem, The Parliament of Man, the Federation of the World, and that was quoted in all newspapers. And then when Truman took over, he recited that poem at the beginning of almost every speech he made.
Yes.
And in the Atlantic Charter for the United Nations in 1942, they said that they were creating a federation of the world where everyone and every nation would be interdependent.
Yeah.
That's when
the states, the states around that time all passed resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're aware of that, Alan.
Yeah.
We've got the Pennsylvania one, but it in every single state.
Yeah.
They passed resolutions acknowledging the Federation of the World.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
However, okay, my desire these last couple days
mm-hmm.
has been to, besides talking and telling
mm-hmm.
and relating the truth of the facts of our history, etc.,
mm-hmm.
is to somehow get a grip. Okay, for example, Alan, I don't have intentions of becoming a bum or a hobo or mm-hmm. a tramp, whatever. If that would happen, so be it. I am, quote, in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm talking on a telephone,
yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't mean I'm part of the system. And I don't, who's to say, and I know that you've made the statement, you can never get out of the system by using the system.
No,
but
you can't.
But you
can't
also said, you know what you said, Alan?
No, I said you can't beat the system by using it.
Okay, you can't beat it by using it.
You
oh,
can't fight
okay.
it by using it, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think, okay, isn't
it's
that
like
the same?
It's like going to complain to your congressman.
Yeah, isn't that the same as saying you can't get out of the system by using the system? How can you be out of the system by using the system?
I don't know.
You can't.
But the fact is, mind you, there's a lot of people who've tried that. They've tried that route. They've tried to disqualify their birth certificate, their all the agreements they made with the government, contractual, and they've tried all these things, but these just end up in courts and
you know, there have been
all the
people
rest of
successful,
it,
Alan.
Up, you know.
There have been people successful in doing that.
I don't believe
but it.
But
comes down, okay, let's pretend that that's the truth for the sake of this comment.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether they won or not.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're using the Internet, the fact that they're... Yeah, if they're not off the grid. In other words, if we are not totally sufficient, they're in the system.
Oh, yeah, they're in the system. And they always put floaters out there, you know, to mislead the public. And sure enough, there'll be some Mason somewhere who's driving around without a license plate. but for everyone that's doing that, there's a whole bunch who ended up in jail or lost their licenses for doing that. It's the same. See, they do this kind of thing all the time. And people fall for the trap because if you want to immobilize
people...
Well,
who was the Mason that did that, Alan?
Well, I just know some of them are in the States. And some of them are ministers, too. But and they have been on shortwave. And but here's what I'm trying to say here. The ones, if you want to immobilize potential troublemakers, all you do is get them to fall for a trap. And then they disqualify themselves from driving, then they're stuck where they are. They're immobilized. They have no problem. They're no threat to anybody. And that's what the system wants. They're constantly playing chess games with the public, and the public fall for it all the time.
Yeah, but Alan, you know what you said one time?
Mm.
You said that by their law,
yeah,
there always has to be a loophole.
They've always made them in the past for themselves. That's why all laws on the book, it depends on the judge. If he wants to let you go, he'll demand that his all these little clerks find a case where the person walked out of court, and he'll read this up. According to law so-and-so, in this case, yada yada, this person walked, and therefore you're dismissed, you're acquitted. But if he wants you inside, he'll tell his clerks to find another one, similar case, where the person was put in jail. So that's why they keep all laws. For every outcome, there are two verdicts in the books.
So, well, I don't think this is what I'm talking about, though. That, for example, the commercial law,
mm-hmm,
that there are certain... In other words, we have to willingly come into their system, Alan. And if there isn't a way out, we are not here willingly. You see...
The thing is, it used to be... The willing fool, as they call it. If you're uninformed and you think it's tradition, you go and do it. It used to be a social insurance number when you left school. Now they're giving social insurance numbers to babies when they're born.
So that's not the point. There has to be a way out of it. Because
I haven't bothered arguing about it, but the fact is...
Well, you said it yourself. There has to be a way out of it. It's their own law. We have to come willingly.
Yeah, but now, as I say, they're changing all of that.
Oh, in other words, it's not their law anymore.
Oh, it's their law, all right, but they're stamping it on you when you're born. You don't have to come into it willingly. You don't know what's
going
on.
Well, then it's not their law anymore. We're not coming in.
I mean,
no, we're not coming into it willingly if it's stamped onto us when we're born. Are we?
I just said that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But are you...
See, they're changing their own rules.
But you said it's their law, that there has to be a way out, a loophole.
I just said that they've done it up until this point. They're changing the rules of the game.
Then we're not coming willingly.
But
so they can't be gods.
Yeah.
Because they believed, according to what you told us,
mm-hmm,
that they are gods in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for them to know that they are gods,
yeah,
because we, as spiritual beings, are created our free will. And in order for them to be gods, we have to come into their system, their plan, willingly, or they aren't gods. So then what they're saying now, if they're changing the rules...
Changing the rules. Yeah.
Changing the laws, then they're admitting they're not gods.
No. They're actually admitting their success because... The previous generation are the ones who are supposed to speak up for their own children, and they've accepted it. They've accepted it. That's why they're pushing it a step further. If the adults accept it, when the government stamps your child, then it's the same thing as far as they're concerned. They're not playing games anymore. They're just rushing ahead with it, and it's true enough. There is no objection.
We're objecting.
If there is, there's very little.
Well, you know what? Maybe it's better that there is no objection. Unless there's a different definition,
uh-huh,
of against, objection against. Because, uh-huh, see, they always have to have the opposite. They have to have the... what am I trying to say here, Alan? The duality. They have to have opposition in order to be successful. If we don't oppose them,
mm-hmm.
just don't oppose them, just don't do it. And mm-hmm. And just make our choices, how we're going to live, how we're going to be. I remember we talked, this is a long time ago, and this is really what I hoped that we would talk about tonight, but for some reason you don't seem to want to. We talked one night about, you said, for example, regarding the economic system, the Federal Reserve, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
that if enough people knew about it, it would dissolve of itself. It would. That's it. And that made sense to me. I could see that in my mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
The light coming into the darkness, it's gone. Okay, and then I asked you, I said, how many do you, because you said that their greatest fear is that enough people will wake up to the fact that we are in fact spiritual beings, and that the power that resides within us, that is what they're afraid of, because they know that it is there. And I asked you, how many do you think it would take? You said, I don't think very many, because there aren't very many of that. Alan, that's what I'd like to talk about, please. Those kinds of things.
Well, again, I think you always miss the fact that what is going to happen to this world is a tremendous change regardless.
Yeah, so the change,
And you're not going to bring the world or the people in the world through it with you, regardless. I mean, there's going to be a big chaotic time coming up. It's actually underway. It's just it's silent weapons, you know. Silent weapons are quiet weapons wars.
Are you addressing what I just mentioned?
That's
that
right.
You said?
And therefore...
Okay, because you did
what emerges out of it will not be any world that anybody is used to, or any system that people are used to.
Well, Alan,
yeah.
I'm not talking about that. You know, going back to something.
I didn't see back either.
No, I did. I'm saying it. I don't mean that.
Uh-huh.
You know, being someplace that's familiar to us. Because, you see, once we've come this far, nothing mm-hmm. is familiar to us.
Yeah.
Nothing is familiar. But, so I just want you to understand, I'm not mm-hmm. talking about going someplace that I know where it is.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about the fact that it isn't a given that they're going to be successful. It isn't a given, Alan. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, calling in. You guys got any open spots for comment on this show here?
Yeah, who's calling?
My name's Craig Kirk.
Craig?
Yeah.
Craig, can you speak up a little bit?
Okay, my name is Craig Kirk.
Oh, my God, that's good. Go. Go ahead, Craig.
Responding to the gentleman speaking.
You have to speak up or our listeners won't be able to hear you.
Okay, I'm responding to...
There you go.
Responding to the speaker on your show.
You mean Alan.
Yeah, Alan. And I started a law school quite a few years back, and I'd have to disagree. You can effectively terminate all your civil contracts effectively and get them recognized, and it's not that hard of a deal. I don't know why he's saying it's impossible.
Okay.
I've done it successfully, and I've had other students who've taught that, and what he's saying is that it's impossible. No, the concept that it's not, that is impossible, it doesn't apply, because these things are contractual in nature. A contract law comes from the scriptures. It doesn't come from the Roman civil law.
Comes from the Pharisees. I'm sorry to tell you, Greg.
Well, we have a contractual obligation from the old covenant. We can either accept it or not.
I didn't sign any contract with the old covenant.
So you're saying that you don't receive benefits from it then, or...
Greg, well, I shouldn't have even started this, but it's... no, I don't embrace that old covenant, Old Testament.
Right.
I do not. And the commercial law that you're talking about is, because the Old Testament is Pharisaic.
Okay.
The Pharisees and the scribes.
Right.
Okay, so we're talking about Talmudic law, whether you realize it or not. Contractual law, the Uniform Commercial Code is not national, it's international, and it's the basis of international law.
Okay.
And so therefore, but however, it all comes down back again. I have a sense, and I don't know this to be a fact, that I believe, because they are so twisted, that there is a loophole. I'm not saying, Greg, that what you were just saying is not so, that people have successfully done it. But I would like to see some people who have successfully done it. And that shouldn't take offense to that.
Oh, no.
Because I hear about this all the time. I want to know somebody who has successfully gotten rid of their, they rescinded their birth certificate. They got actual acknowledgement. Because I rescinded my Social Security number with a beautiful 7-page letter. I was 17 years old when I got it.
Okay.
Okay, and I got that Social Security number because I was told I had to. Well, do you think I ever got an acknowledgement from Rubin, the governor of the International Monetary Fund, the Secretary of the Treasury? I never got an acknowledgement of that. They've got my Social Security number.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's correct, but what I would contend was is that your acknowledgement is judicial in nature and not executive.
Okay, you know what? You know what, Craig? We're not. This is a whole can of worms.
Right.
Why don't you call me, and you and I will talk, and maybe we'll just have this conversation on the air, but not in this broadcast.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
I think you and I have some same something to discuss.
Right.
Okay.
Real quick, a side note is I really love all this rain and due season. We're getting up here in Ohio. That storm that came in from the Gulf really. we got 4 or 5 inches. It's really neat. So.
That is great. You needed it.
Yeah.
That's good. Do you have my home phone number?
No, I don't.
Okay, it's the same number that you called, 3025.
Okay.
But call 3035.
3035. 3035.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For your call. Alan, I apologize.
Oh, it's a rabbinical discussion.
Yeah, I understand that. We're gnashing at fleas. And I do apologize that I took us off the track like that. But, Alan, I hate to say that word, but it sort of erases everything you said before. You have said that, first of all, their ultimate, well, I don't know, what is their ultimate plan? You see, Alan, they're not going to...
We've discussed that many times.
They're not going to get us all. They know that, don't they?
No.
Surely they do.
No, they're making plans all the time. I mean,
I don't care what their plans are, but don't you believe that they don't know they're not going to get us all? I mean, I use their electricity, and I have that number, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and shortly you'll get your ID card because they've passed that law, too.
Well, then maybe I won't travel the highways anymore, Alan.
You
know, the federal highway.
Traveling, you're supposed to have it with you at all times.
No, we don't have to have it. The only time we have to have it is for federal identification.
Well,
that's the airport.
I wouldn't count on it.
Well, you're right. You're right. And maybe I
count on it.
Maybe I won't get it. I don't know. But they're not getting...
They have a population.
They're not having my soul. They will never have my soul.
But to say, see, the war has been on. It's been on since they started giving inoculations. And very few people are working on full power nowadays. And
if they don't have my soul,
truth, you know?
If they don't have my soul, are they successful, Alan?
If they don't have it, they might just be content to have the world.
Well, then they aren't gone. Because you said as long as there's one holdout, they aren't successful. Well,
yeah, that's a holdout to so many things, though.
Oh, baloney. I don't think that we're going to be back right after this. Folks, please don't go away. Alan, okay, we'll talk about this on the other side of this.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dough.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Hello, I think we're back on again. I should tell the people about the three books I have for sale. They're $25 each. They're called Cutting Through, 1, 2, and 3. And you can get them by sending $25 each by U.S. Postal, International Postal Order, or FRNs will get to me as well. And my name is Alan Watt, which is W-A-T-T. The address is Site 41, that's S-I-T-E 41, Box 4, Astaire, like Fred Astaire, only with an E in front, which is E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada, and the postal code is P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. That's P-3-E 4N1, and my telephone number is 705-695-0416, and I'll get them out to you as soon as I can. These go into the origins from the days of Sumer, of the structured system, which was a prototype of the one we live in today, and the secret societies and priesthoods which ruled that system, coupled with the merchant classes and the money boys, and how they took over countries one by one by introducing their money, giving them trade, and then bringing them into debt. And nothing has changed from then till now, really, except the faces, and now they use paper instead of pieces of metal. So it's an ongoing process. However, it has a definite ending for those who run the show, because unfortunately they have been fulfilling their agenda over the last 100 years, especially beginning with inoculations to cause tremendous diseases amongst the public. The IQ now, the standard IQ, has dropped 10%. That is the new normal. The new normal is 10% lower than it was 50 years ago. And IQ is something you're born with. It's innate. It's not a learned thing. And so people are already affected as this ongoing war continues. A very good thing to watch every year are the United Nations' own statistics on disease autism, all the learning problems are only degrees of the same problem among school children. That means their mission is being successful. And the amount of early onset of what used to be called chronic adult diseases or geriatric diseases, such as arthritis, that's now hitting people in their 20s. This is the slow killing off rate that was discussed many years ago when the World Health Organization talked about bringing the population down.
And Alan?
Hello?
I'm sorry. Had you given your address already?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things I wanted to comment here is that they're killing people off. If they don't have our souls when we leave this physical body, they've lost, Alan. That's what I have been trying to say. I understand and I believe and know, and I know that many of our listeners do. I think it's good to remember, though, that when we leave, if we leave, that they don't have our soul, they've lost. They haven't won. We have a caller. Can we take the call?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead. Jerry from Wisconsin. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I cut Jerry off. Jerry, please call back. I think he will. He's been waiting. Alan, I'm not trying to be argumentative tonight. I think you know that. But, God, I've used that word so many times. Is it okay for us, because we talk about what you're talking about all the time,
mm-hmm.
to bring the truth to our listeners so that their eyes are open. Mm-hmm. And yet, what I would just like to do is not lighten it up. There's no way to, quote, lighten it up, but maybe there is. To remember that we are spiritual beings. And if we leave here, if they've killed us, and I don't have a death wish, and what they're doing is evil, we know that. However, if we leave here and they don't have our soul, they've lost. Do you agree? Or don't agree?
It's much more than that. What I've discussed on the air is scratching the surface. The whole thing about freedom and freedom of the soul, if you want to call it that, depends as well on knowledge, and it's the truth that sets you free.
I understand,
Most
Alan.
Most people can't handle the bad news.
Well, you know what, though? Maybe this is what I'm maybe having difficulty in getting through. What you're saying, we are on the same page. We have to know the truth. And it's very difficult to get through. So every now and then, maybe we take a broadcast and we talk about the deeper, the more spiritual aspect of this so that people aren't sitting in fear and in anxiety and et cetera. I don't want to be that for our listeners.
The thing is, a person who's on the right road, the more they learn, the less afraid they become.
I know that.
See, a lot of people can't handle looking at bad news. But you have to look at it, and the opposite occurs. When you realize this is all a physically made hell, you might say, mainly because of those that are in control, but also from the bottom, too, because all of the evil traits or negative traits within humanity are manifested in all classes of society.
Yes, and it comes down back once again, as you've said, to the individual.
Yeah.
That we will take this call. This is probably Jerry. Hello.
Good evening, Jackie.
Hi, Kate.
Is it right to call and talk?
Yes, it is. And Jerry from Wisconsin.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say this to Jerry. I accidentally cut us off, Jerry, and you're welcome to call back after Kate's call.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kate.
I wanted to tell you and Alan that I had heard, I forgot the name of the town in Massachusetts, of course the superintendent is Jewish, Siegel, is paying all the illegals $25 to go to school. Isn't that interesting? and they're all foreigners. They want to bring them up to the level of what? Also, in Kansas City, there is no books anymore. It's computers. And ask Alan, if not through the years and centuries, they have been killing the finest, brightest gene pool. And they have succeeded to race mix, to bring the white people down, the subliminal messages, brainwashing, and mind control. Ask him if this is not true. And I thank you.
Thanks, Kate. Alan, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, well, it's no secret that it is definitely an agenda. I mean, it's been widely publicized by those who implement these schemes. And again, Carol Quigley talked about it in Tragedy and Hope, because he was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, also the Pacific Rim team, and a whole bunch of other ones for policy making, all related to the Royal Institute of International Affairs. And he went through the decline of especially the American white society, middle class, and he said that they were Africanizing, that's the term he used, Africanizing the culture of America to make them more gregarious, he called it, and to come into a brand new system, almost based on a new type of tribalism, where no one cared who anybody else was. Everything was relative, and values would totally be in flux at all times, and there'd be no value judgments on individuals. So yeah, this has been well diagnosed, you might say, well thought out and dissected by various professors who were all in on the making of it, the culture creation, and nothing should surprise us, because they've really been doing this for many, many years, since the 1960s. Europe today, for instance, is just an amazing mixture of all kinds. And, of course, it isn't working out exactly as they said it would be, because what happens is you have new ghettos springing up where people are moved in en masse. They're encouraged to move into a specific area and keep their culture. And I think the purpose of it is to bring conflict out into the open street when they want it, when it's time to do it. That's why they're keeping them all together. So we don't have this big Seventh-day Adventist happy family that you see in all the Awake magazines. It's more like segregated areas. Now, everyone can get along to an extent as long as there's plenty of money flowing and there's jobs there. But when that money gets tight, they've already seen it in Britain when they had the riots in Brixton and a few other major cities in the 1970s, when the ethnic mixes began to burn down old age homes, whole streets of them, in fact, with gasoline, with the people in them. We've seen how it can spark off the riots. I think this has been set up intentionally so that they can bring open conflict, and then they'll bring in their total control system in order to deal with it. And out of that, they hope to bring out a new society.
They hope to.
It's a chessboard, you see, that's been set up in advance.
Yeah.
And the public
and
never recognized it as a chessboard.
It's been going on probably since this... Maybe this world has always existed. I don't know.
Yes, uh-huh.
But it's been going on since the beginning, Alan.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and
the Romans
each
were famous.
Phase of it is, in each phase of it,
yeah,
there have always been those holdouts.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
yeah,
therefore, they see, because when there are people talking the truth,
uh-huh,
and revealing the truth, exposing the lies, there will be people who hear it,
mm-hmm,
and they will be the next holdout, Alan. And maybe that's what's kept them, after all this millennia, from being totally successful. They're not successful. And it looks like they are, and maybe they aren't. We have a call. Can we take it?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Jeff.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Alan's right. to be aware of everything going on around us. And that does set you free, because that takes away any fear that you might have of the adversary. And there's nothing they can do, because your soul is free. And that's the truth.
Thank you, Jeff.
See you.
Alan, did you want to comment?
Yeah, it's true. Most people want a sort of cheerleader for good times, but you don't cheer till the battle's over. The truth sets you free, and that means that you have to look at the darkness of everything, and you must go into every burrow and every hole there is out there, a dark hole, a black hole, you might say, it sucks all evil into it. But you must go through all of this and see it for what it is. And those who can't face it and look at it as it really is and exists are still in the world.
Yes.
That's the difference. If you're in the world, what you're really trying to do is to save the, just stop the clock here and now and hope that it doesn't get any worse. That's really what people want. Most people want to keep the familiar, even if that familiar is totally corrupt. And that's insane, you see.
Yes.
And what you have to do is look at every aspect of the evil that's all around us and being put upon us just by the spraying every day in the skies. I mean, if that doesn't tell you exactly where all the world's media lay, because not one will mention it, then how on earth could you possibly believe them on anything? But people do. They're stuck in doublethink.
Because those people don't even know about the chemtrails.
But there's people who do know about them and still will go on quoting the paper for whatever diversion they give them.
Oh, really?
Because they're in two different worlds all the time.
Okay.
That's doublethink, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if a world's media can keep something like that totally secret, even though it's happening above our heads, they can keep it quiet. The UN does publish the deaths by pneumonia and bronchial diseases, and they're skyrocketing every year. But there's no comment upon it, just the statistics. Now, Albert Pike said to everybody something very, very important. He said that a person who does not use their own powers of reason, not their neighbors, their friends, the medias, or their group they belong to, their own power of reason is nothing more than a beast of burden and meat on the table for those who can use it. And what he's telling you is we live in a world where we are supposed to use our own senses to deduce what's going on. And yet we've been trained to rely upon others to do it for us. And those people are in the pockets of the globalists. And so we can actually see things ourselves. Our reason gives us our opinion of the statistics when the IQ is dropping like a stone. The inoculations are given even earlier on when the brain isn't developed properly. And people are being deliberately destroyed through these new diseases they're introducing. Our reason should tell us that since they wrote about doing this, it is happening, then
yes,
they are doing it.
It should. Our reason should tell us that,
yep,
if we know that they wrote about it.
That's right. And they did write about it. After Kessler worked to the United Nations,
right,
on that very problem. How do you lobotomize the higher intellect in every individual? Should you put it in the water, he said, through inoculations, or spray it in the sky, or put it in the
food? Good God, and they're doing it, all of it.
All of it. So we have to realize that we are in the middle of a war. There is no break here. There's no treaty flag out there. We're going through it right now.
We're in it.
We're in it. And the more we understand, the strangest thing happens, because a peace comes upon the individual when he understands the strength that starts to grow within. Because when you're coping with the knowledge of it, that's when you find yourself. You find yourself right there and then. And it becomes stronger. And your acuity becomes stronger. Your mind becomes stronger. And that thing, which is misnamed spirit,
because you get drunk on spirit, and that's for evangelists and Pentecostals who want to wave their hands and go into a trance. That's what spirit does to you. That's why alcohol is called spirit, you see. It's an inappropriate name.
Then what would be the name?
It's the being, the essence of you. The individual is far more than a bunch of cells and protoplasm and electronic currents. Far, far more. And an individual will seldom realize it until a profound change comes upon them. And the change comes through knowing the truth. It comes step by step. When you're unafraid to look at every dirty part under the rug there in detail and manage it and cope with it. And first a person might die the death. That's what they've always said for thousands of years. You die to the self. The self was just a conglomerate of what they'd given to you and you'd accepted. You die to the whole idea of the reality that was given to you. When you realize that democracy doesn't exist, people go through a death. It's all a show. And then the true rebirth comes by looking at it all, piece by piece, all the evil there, and finding your way through it. It's not a matter of you just getting to it yourself. Something comes to you. And the ancients used to call that getting in touch with that creative force that exists outside of you, maybe millennia away, billionia, billions and trillions of miles away, wherever it is, it definitely comes to you because your mind begins to work like an express train with clarity that never happened before. So you've broken through. You've broken through all the lies and the evil and indoctrination of this world. And of course, part of that is the fact that you don't love the world anymore. You know there's far, far more out there and all around us, but out there, as I say, coexisting, it's endless. If you love the world, you will be stuck in the world and trapped in the world and the things of the world. And so those people who want to go along to get along will do it to the very bitter end, to their own demise, because that's where it will take you. The world can be certainly a beautiful place, but for thousands of years it's never had the chance. It's never had the chance. And a sunny day does not make up for all the evil that's going on somewhere in the world. It just doesn't do it. I can't enjoy a sunny day knowing that the tax money from anything that I buy is being used to kill people in some other country for some corporate agenda, so they can steal their land and their oil. And of course, in Afghanistan, apparently the Taliban, when they were in power, they'd banned, and forcibly banned too, the growing of poppies for heroin. And since it was taken over by America, then Canada, the trade in poppies is booming, and heroin is flooding the streets again. So I can't look at a sunny day here and suddenly be happy, you know. Like that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, that was one of the messages they gave the public by making a dumb song like that a number one.
Do you ever feel joy, Alan?
Joy, it doesn't come from here.
It comes from within us.
Yeah, and well, it's something.
Well, do you ever feel joy?
I feel joy, but it's not within the normal context or the people expect it.
I'm not saying,
I can appreciate those things around me.
It's a sunny day, I'm happy, but do you ever see that the good and the love that of the people that is in this world, and it gives you joy, that those expressions or those incidences of somebody who, okay, let's say somebody who out of their head dives in the water to save a drowning person, and they're scared to death of the water. Okay, that's just to me pure love. And can you not find joy in that?
Well, that might not do it, but I find joy in certain things, obviously.
Okay.
But the joy is never overwhelmed or singularly over me at any one time, because I'm always conscious of a war going on, always.
I don't think that any of us who finally are getting it are not always conscious that there is a war going on. I don't... Once... It's like, you know, the red pill and the blue pill. Once you take the red pill, you can't go back.
Oh, a lot of people can. They vacillate back and forth because there are many degrees of waking up. It's not a sudden thing. It's
right.
A process.
Exactly.
And you people, as I say, most people truly, if you ask them, would tell you honestly that they'd love for the system just to stop right here. Don't get any worse. Don't tax anymore.
I'll bet you there aren't a lot of our listeners who feel that way.
You may be surprised.
Okay.
You may be surprised.
Well, you get a lot more phone calls than I do.
But yeah, I mean, I just have to listen, and I know exactly where they are. And this system, which they try to stop here and now, just make time stop, is so ridiculous because the system is intended to create worry and fear and anxiety. That's why everything goes up and down, prices and NASDAQs and all this other nonsense. Actually, it's all manipulated nonsense to keep people in fear. So why would you want to stop it? Is this level of fear okay here today? Let's just stop
right.
it here, you know.
Right, stop.
That's
it.
That's silly. It's like saying, leave me neurotic, but not quite as much, you know. So,
don't make me more neurotic.
Yeah, or just leave me at my present level.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. I mean, it's nuts, you know.
We have to go.
Yeah.
You want to come back tomorrow night?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Folks, thank you for being here tonight. And I am so absolutely thrilled that I'm getting reports that you can hear this broadcast. I want to thank WWCR for doing whatever they've done that has fixed this problem. And we'll be back tomorrow night with Alan Watt. Thanks, Alan.
That's a pleasure.
Good night, folks. God bless you.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations. The opinions expressed...